Begin the current daven sechtzivam is daf kovdal. Begin 7 lines down from the Tamati Yamin, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, of the theme of this parak regarding the mitzvahs of chalitza. So Ambrisha brings two machlekes in the components of the mitzvah of chalitza. Tanakama says, chalitza balayla. If a woman does chalitza with her yavam at nighttime, chalitza sekher, that's a valid chalitza. However, Rabbi Elazar says that's invalid. And the second halacha, b'smoil, if the chalitza is done with the left foot, chalitzasa psula, the chalitza is going to be invalid. Rabbi Elazar says actually that's going to be kasha. So now the Gemara talks about regarding the first machlekes in the Mishnah. Lema b'hakimivikul, let's say the machlekes in our Mishnah between the Tanakama and Rabbi Elazar, if chalitza is kasha by nighttime or not, is regarding the following idea. The Marsav, the Rabbi Elazar holds, makshinan rivim lenegoim, that we compare disputes to the halacha of a nega of a tzaras, where it says in the pasuk Dvarim Chavav, it says chol rib v'chol nega, that any dispute and any nega should have the following halacha. So we say, just like a nega, the way it's analyzed, you view it to see if it's a nega or not at daytime only, as it says in the pasuk Birka Yud Gimel, uviyem hara oisbay, at the daytime is when you analyze it. So two disputes are only at the daytime. Now, as Rashi explains, chalitza is also considered on some level a dispute, because she collects her ksuba at the time of when she gets chalitza, and therefore it will be equated to negaim, which has to be done during the daytime. That's what Rabbi Elazar holds, and therefore it's invalid if it's done at nighttime. Umar Sabalamek Shin Rivim Lagam, however, the Tanakam held that no, we don't compare necessarily, although it says in the same pasuk, disputes to nega, and therefore, although nega is possible by nighttime, however, a dispute, a monetary law could be done at nighttime. Now, that the Gemara says, like, no, that can't be. That the Kule Amalei Mekshin and Rivim Lenegoim, it's truthfully that no one equates, no one compares the halacha of a nega to the halacha of disputes. And the reason is because the imakshina, because if we would make the comparison, then afil gemar din balayla nameloi, then even the conclusion of a monetary dispute would not be able to be done at nighttime. Now, as Rashi points out, the Mishnah Masechta Sanhedrin says that din amamonis done in bayayim, but v'gremim balayla. Although monetary disputes that it's brought down, that's only at daytime, but at nighttime it could be concluded. And if you were learning from nega, nothing of nega could be done at nighttime. So obviously, that the reason why those who would invalidate chalitza at nighttime would not be because we compare it to nega, because we see obviously that gemara din could be done at nighttime. But rather, actually what they're arguing about is regarding this second point of halacha that we just brought down, because Marsav, Rabbi Elazar holds, chalitza kitchilas dindam, he equates the process of chalitza as the beginning of a monetary dispute, where the, as we just quoted from the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, that learns that tchilas din, the beginning of dispute, has to be done at daytime. So if you compare the process of chalitza as the beginning of din, so it's going to be possible at nighttime. However, the Tanakama held that no, chalitza is like the conclusion of the din, and therefore just like gemar din can be done at nighttime, so therefore chalitza could also be done at nighttime, because that's just the conclusion when she's getting her ksuba, and therefore that is what they're disputing. Not regarding if we compare Rivim to Negaim, but rather which component of Din is Chalitza like? Is it like Tchilas Din, and therefore, yes, it's possible by night, it has to be done only during the day? Or is it even as Kigmar Din, which could be done at nighttime? Now, the Gemara says that related to the halachas of our Mishnah, the Gemara brings that Rabba Barchia Kutosfa, the name of Namaira, Avar Uvda, he did a halacha of Chalitza with the following three components. He did a B'moik, which means that the shoe was made out of felt, even though it wasn't made out of leather. Ubi yichidi, and it was done only in front of one person. Ubalaylan was done at nighttime. So Amar Shmuel said regarding this that Rabbi Barchia Kutosfa had done, he says, Kama Rav Guvri, how mighty is this person? And he's saying in a derogatory fashion, the Avid Ki Yichidoi, that he's doing like an Adas Yochid, which is like a sole opinion, which generally in Halacha we want to go like the Rabbim, how great he is, like he's able to go on, so to speak, on the fringe and just follow one das yachar. He wasn't too happy with that. So the Gemara, my kasha was bothering Shmuel. There was three components that seemed like a leniency that Rabbi Barchia Kutosfa was doing. And the Gemara asked, what was bothering him? Imoik, if the problem was that it wasn't leather and rather with felt, well, stamatanya, we brought an anonymous brisa previously enough, Kovbez Mabez, that said with different types of shoes that chalitza could be done, Kavakiteya, Smichas Raglaim, and one of them was with Mike. And therefore we see that anonymous opinion, which we follow, Allah is like Istama, said that that's okay. So that shouldn't bother him. Elilei, if the fact that it was done at nighttime, well, Stamatani, we have an anonymous opinion in our Mishnah, which says the chalitza is kosher if it's done at nighttime. So though these two halachas of Moike and night have those who dispute it, we have anonymous opinions, which generally those are the opinions that we attribute halacha to. So Zathus Ligmar says, El Yechidi Kukashle. What bothered Shmuel was that he did the chalitza not in front of a bezin, not in front of two, but rather in front of one person. Now, Heicha Avid B'Yechidi, how could he have done that in front of one person? The Yechidah Ketanei Lo. What was bothering Shmuel is that that's a Das Yachid, that's just the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, but everybody else argues on him. It's not like he learned the Mishnah on Omid Beis. The Mishnah says, Chaltza B'Shnaim, if a woman, the Yavama, does chalitza in front of two people, or even if it was in front of three people, which is a bezin, but the Nimtza Echem and Karva Apostle comes out that they ended up finding out that one of the three people was a relative to the people involved in the case, or an invalid person, which again makes it back to two, chalitza psula. So the Tanna Kamma held that's possible. You need to have three. You can't have two. It has to be three ksherim for a bezin. They say, no, it's kosher even with two. Now, the Mishnah continues and says, v'maisa be'echad, an individual with a person, shachalatz be'noi le'beino be'vesesom, that he did the chalitza just between him and her in jail, and they came to stir in front of Rekiva, and he says that it's kosher, although that there was no one else. Now, which the Mefarshim bring down, this doesn't pertain necessarily for the discussion the Gemara is bringing down over here, but that halacha does not follow like those who say that all you need is two. Now, but one thing that we see is that who's the one that says you could do it in front of one person, that only one is necessary, you don't need two people watching or three? That's Rabbi Kiva, and that's a Das Yachid. And therefore Shmuel was upset that he paskin that halacha, not because of Moik or because of nighttime, but because he did it b'yechidi, that, you know, you have to really be a big psak hayra, like he was saying, to rely on this Das Yachid, and therefore he wasn't so happy. The Ibai Sema, the Gemara says, if you want, you could explain that actually what Shmuel was bothered was actually by all those three leniencies. And the reason is because kula nami yichidah katanilu, all those three leniencies, actually, we find that it's a yachid that says all three. It's not like within the Braisa. Amar Shmuel Rabbi Yosi, he's the yachid. He says, Ani Re'i says, Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, that shachalatz b'moik, b'chidi, u'balayla. So we see that it was a yachid that had done this, and therefore, he wasn't so happy that he was going and relying on the Das Yachid when he should have done it the way that the Rabban Paskins, which is by daytime and with oyer, leather, and not in front of a Yachid, whether it's two or three. Now, the Gemara continues quoting from my Mishnah that goes on to the second Machlekes. Said, Bismol Chalitzase, if it's done with the left foot, then there was a Machlekes if that's going to be kosher or not. So the Gemara asks, my time to Rabban, what's the reason the Rabban that say it's going to be pasul? So Amar Ula says, Yalfina regel, regel, mimitzara. They learn out that it says the word regel over here by the parasha of Chalitza. And it says regel by mitzara, as it says in Miyiku Yudalad, al boyin ragloi hayamonis, that the oil should be put on the big toe of his right foot. So malahan diyamin, just like over there, regel meant that it was on the right foot. Afkan diyamin here, also it says the foot, it means the Yavim's right foot. So therefore it's possible b'smail. The Gemara asks, but Rebbe Elazar, but in our Mishnah, Rebbe Elazar, who's saying that it's going to be kosher even on the left foot, the Gemara asks, lo yolef regel, regel, mitzar, he doesn't have this comparison, this gezer shav between regel and regel from mitzayra, because he seems to be arguing, saying that it's kosher even on the left foot. But v'tanu le nabraisa, Rebbe Elazar, Eimer, this thing Rebbe Elazar says, minayin l'ritziya shehi ba'izn ha'yamonis, where do we know that they would bore a hole in the ear of an Eved, Eved Ivri, that wanted to stay beyond his 6 years that he has to up until Yaivol, that he would bore a hole in his ear? How do we know that it's in his right ear? So Rebbe Elazar says, Nemer kan oizen, it says over here by Eved the word ear. Nemer lahalan, it says over there by Mitzayra oizen, ear. Malahalan yamin, just like over there by the Mitzayra, just like we said that his big toe of his foot was the right foot, his ear that was also regarding the right ear. Safkanyamin here also regarding the Eved Ivri, the hole that's made is in the right ear. But so you see that we make these comparisons when it says just a generic term of either oizen or regel, we do compare it to Mitzray, which has all these terms of yad and regel and oizen, and therefore just like by Eved Ivri we compare it. So Rebbe Elazar should say the same thing over here regarding the halacha of Chalitza. So how is it that in our Mishnah that he doesn't make that comparison? They hold that it's going to be kosher b'sma. So the Gemara actually says, Amar Yitzchak, Bar Yosef, Amar Yechon. He says, you're right. The opinions that are attributed in our Mishnah are actually reversed, because it's actually Rabbi Elazar who's the one that says it's possible to smile, and the Tanakhama says it's kosher, as we see, because he's the one that compares the generic terms in the Torah to Mitzayra, just like over there, by Eizen, Eizen, by Ebed, every year, also by Regal, Regal, by Chalitza, that it should be done only with the right foot. Rav Amar, he says, La'ilum lo'itepach. Truth is, you don't have to reverse the opinions, and the truth is, it could be that Rabbi Elazar does compare it over there, but not over here. And the reason is because Eizen, Eizen, Mufni. The terminology, the terms eisen, ear, are superfluous by both parashias over there by Ebed Ivri and by Mitzayra. And the reason is because the pasuk by Mitzayra, which is by a Mitzayra that's poor, which that's a whole extra parasha. As the Gemara says in Masechet Simnachas, it darshans all the terminologies of Yad, which says extra over there to say Yad by Kmitza. It says Regal extra to say Regal for Chalitza. It says eisen extra to tell you eisen, as we're talking about in Agma for Ritzia. Now, not just is it extra, the term oizen by Mitzayra, it's also extra by Ritzia, by the boring of the Ebed Ivri's earlobe, because it says two times the word oznai. It says, Rotz Adonim es oznai, and it says, V'nosa'ata ba'oznai v'delis, so why is it repeated again? There it's also superfluous. Now, it's when superfluous from both sides, so you make a clear-cut zera shava. But regel, regel, I mufni. However, the terminology of regel is not superfluous on both ends of the zera shava. It's only extra, as we said, by Mitzayra. But by Chalitza, it's not. And therefore, you only have one superfluous term. Now, Rabbi Elazar's opinion is that when it's what's called Mufna Mitzad Echad, that it's only superfluous on one side of the Gezeirah Shavah, then you could learn the comparison only if there's no what's called Tshuva. There's no way of saying that who said. But if there's an answer to say that, wait, this one that you're trying to learn out from has a certain stringency, then okay, then we can't make that Hekesh, we can't make that Gezeirah Shavah. But whereas when the superfluous on both sides, we say imeshiv, and we don't make any responses, we say that doesn't make a difference, even if it seems like that you can't compare, the Torah is comparing it. But here, where it's only superfluous on one side, he doesn't make that, to which the Gemara asks. V'chilei mufni, okay, so the fact that it's not superfluous on both sides, well, my pircheyaka, we still make a gzeres shava, unless you have a tshuva. What would be the question? Why would you not think that you should learn out the halacha of chalitza, to learn that out from the halacha of Mitzayra, where there it's right foot, here it's also right foot. I think Gemara says the reason why Rabbi Elazar does not learn, and he says it's kosher even in the left foot by chalitza, is because ikla mifrach. You could ask, there is a tshuva, to say that there's a certain stringencies that we find by Mitzayra, and that's why there has to be in the right and possible in the left. Because ma'ala Mitzayra, shekein toin eitz erez, you need to have cedar wood, ve'ezav and hyssop, bishni telos, and the red thread. And therefore, we find those stringencies only by Mitzayra and not by Chalitza. So maybe over there, the Torah says it has to be with the right and Pasul by the left. But over here, where it doesn't have those stringencies and it's only Mufna Mitzad Echa, not Mishnei Tzadim, therefore we say that Mechatez, like it's called, who said that we would learn that from there? Because you have this Tshuva, this Pircha, and that's why Rabbi Elazar holds that you don't make the comparison. Whereas again, by Ebed Ivri, where it's Mishnei Tzadim, you're going to make it. And therefore, he holds that it's not only kosher in the right foot, but even in the left foot for the Halacha of Chalitza. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing on the theme of this parak of the halachas of Chalitza. So the Mishnah says, and this is because there's three components, primary components in the halach of Chalitza. There's the woman taking off the man's shoe called Chalitza, which is the Yavim shoe. This is called Rekika, which she spits. And then there's the Kriya, the certain psukim that she recites. So the Mishnah speaks about all three components. Chalitza v'rakaka. Let's say she does the taking off of the shoe and the spitting. Avaloi kara, but she doesn't say the psukim that she's supposed to say. So the chalitza, the process is valid, and the reason is because the kriya, the recital, is not miyakov, it's not, will not withhold the validity, and therefore she's free to marry other people. Kara v'rakaka, let's say she recited the psukim, and she spit, avalei chalitza, but she didn't take off her shoe, then chalitza psu, then according to everybody, the chalitza is pasul. However, if chalitza v'kara, let's say she took off her shoes, and she recited the pasuk, avalei rakaka, but she didn't spit, now we have a machlekes. Rabbi Elazar mechalitzas b'sul, he says it's invalid, and Rabbi Kiva mechalitzas k'sher, he says it's kosher. As the Gemara continues on, as the Mishnah is continued quoting on Amud Beis, that the opinions explain each other. Amli Rabbi Elazar says in the parasha of Chalitza, it says over there, kacha ye'asa. This is what should be done. Now the term kacha always connotes ikuvah. This is how it has to be. If it's not, it's pasul. Now that word kacha is going on ye'asa, on mice, on action. Now, so therefore kriya, recital, is not going to be ma'akir because that's just words. It's not an action. But what Rabbi Elazar says, what you see in the pasuk is that called davashu ma'isa, anything that's an action. Now spitting, rikike, is an action, so that's ma'akir. That's kacha, that will withhold, and therefore it's going to be possible if you don't spit. That Amr Rabbi Kiva said to him, no. He says, Misham Raya, that you're proving? To the contrary. What does the Pasuk say? This is what should be done to the man, meaning to the Yavim, that's the process of Chalitza. And the explanation is, anything that's an action in the man, which that's Chalitza, where the woman does an action in the body of the man, she takes off his shoe. That excludes spitting, Rikika, where it's not an action in him. She does it maybe in front of him, it's not something to him. And therefore, actually from that Pasuk, you could prove that Rikika is not Me'akev, and it's going to be Kasher, even without the spitting. Now the Mishnah continues with other halachas of Chalitza. Ha-cheresh shenechlatz. Regarding a cheresh, the man, the Yavim, was a deaf mute, that had Chalitza done to him, that's going to be, as the Mishnah says, a Chalitza psula, which means to say that if there's another brother that Chalitza can be done with, that's kosher, that's not a cheresh, you have to do it with that other brother. Similarly, v'ha-cheresh shechalitza. If the woman, the shemeres Yavim, the one who her husband died without any children, is a deaf mute, then her chalitza is possible that she's doing with the Yavam. And what that means is that she's not exempted to go ahead and marry other people with this chalitza, as the Gemara explains later on, Daf Kof Yud Amud Aleph. And what happens is that the only way she could rectify herself, she's still bound with Zika, the chalitza is not a good chalitza, is only if the Yavam is miyavim her, which he could just be koina her with Bia Ba'alma. And then if he wants to divorce her, then he could go ahead and divorce her with a get, but the chalitza with a chareshes will not work. And v'chaletzas l'katan, if the woman does chalitza to her yavim, who's still a minor, chalitzas apsula, all these types of chalitzas are invalid. Now, ketana shachalitza, a minor does chalitza, meaning if the yavama, the shemeres yavim, is a minor, then tachlitz mishatakla, she has to chalitza when she becomes an adult, then l'chalitza, but if she doesn't do chalitza, when she becomes an adult, chalitza sapsula, the chalitza that she had done when she was a minor, is possible. Now the Mishnah concludes with the machlikas that we mentioned, Amad Aleph, chalitza bishnayim. If chalitza was done with two kosher individuals that were supervising this chalitza, or even if it was three, but v'nimtza echad men karba pasul, but ultimately turns out that one of them is a relative or someone that's invalid to be on the bezdin, which then makes them back to two, chalitza sapsula, Tanakama says that's invalid chalitza. For chalitza to work, you have to have a bezdin of three people. However, Shimon Rebbe Yechon Asandlo, then Machshim, they say it's kosher even with two. And the Mishnah says, there was an incident with someone that the chalitza was done between him and her in jail. Came from Rebbe Kiva, and he says that it's kosher, it's even kosher, but you don't need to have two or three. Now, Amar Rava, Rava says, regarding the halacha of our Mishnah, that Hashtu de Amar Kriya l'ma'akev, this will be opened up in the Mishnah, we said that the recital of the parashas are not ma'akev, as long as you do chalitza and you do kikah, it's going to be a valid chalitza. Lafikach, therefore, Rava says, the halacha should be, ilem ve'ilem eshacholtzu, if the yavam or the yavama are mute, and they do the chalitza, chalitzasim share, that's a valid chalitza, because you don't have to say the psukim. They could do that, taking off the shoe and the spitting. On that the Gemara asks, but now we learn in our Mishnah, the Mishnah says, cheresh shenechlatz v'acharesh shecholtza, if either the yavam or the yavama are deaf-mute, or v'achalitzim l'katan, or if the yavam is a minor, chalitzas apsul, that's an invalid chalitza. So the Gemara asks, my time, what's the reason of these three halachas? Lav mishtum de lav b'nei kriyin, and isn't it because they're not able to recite? In other words, regarding the cheresh and the chareshes, they can't say the psukim they have to say, and that's why it's invalid? And therefore, how can you say that an ilam that or a ilemes is going to be a valid chalitza? The Gemara says, loy, no. Mishum de lav b'nei deinenu, as we saw in the beginning of the Mishnah, you don't have to recite the psukim. The reason why cheresh and chareshes are possible is because besides their impairments in speech, they have cognitive deficiencies. And that's what creates the problem, just like the case that they're with, which that of Katan, as we know, that they're not b'nei deinenu, they don't have the das necessary, the intellect, the intelligence, to be able to execute a kinyan of chalitza. So Gemara says, if that's the case, ilam v'ilemes nami. So why don't you say the same thing for a man or a woman that's mute? They're also, you should say that the lav b'nei deinenu, why are they different than the cheresh and the chareshes? That a Rava, he says, no, ilam v'ilemes b'nei deinenu. Although they have impairments in their functioning, in the sense that they can't speak, but it's really they are b'nei deinu. It's not coming from a cognitive deficiency. It's just ufamayu hudu ka'ayv luhu. Almost like, so to speak, that their mouth is hurting them. It's just a technicality in the function, which is they can't speak, but it's not coming from a deficiency in intellect, and therefore they could do chalitza as Rav had said, but it's different than Cheresh and Chareshes because that's coming from a deficiency in Deya, and that's why they're puzzling our Mishnah. But that the Gemara asks, you're interpreting the halacha of our Mishnah, Cheresh and Chareshes, that it's not because they can't speak, as the Gemara had asked, but rather because of their labnei deinu. But va'amri debeir b'yanai, in their interpretation of our Mishnah of Cheresh and Chareshes, it's brought in the price of the Yeshiva b'yanai, that the reason why the apostle is lefisha inu ba'amr va'amra is because the Torah says in the pasuk that va'amr he says this and va'amr and she says this, and we learned in the Mishnah in Masechtas Trumas that a cheresh, that the chacham say whenever they mention a cheresh, it's a reference to someone they can't hear and can't speak. That's called a deaf mute. Now, but one thing is that we see that the reason why they're apostle is not because, like you're saying, because la b'nei deinu, it's because they can't speak. And therefore, your halacha, your inference of halacha is incorrect. Because we see that in lame and the lemis that can't speak, and therefore that's not va'amr va'amr, should also be possible. So El Gemara says, you're right. Ki yidma de Rava, when did we have the halacha of Rava? Wasn't from inference of the reisha of the Mishnah, where Kri is nama akiv, but rather a sefer, where he was actually beginning his halacha from the sefer, which we just quoted, where we said, cheresha nechlet zvacha resha shecholzo, if the yavmo, the yavama, are a deaf mute, or vachalitz is not caught, and if they get chalitz done from a minor, chalitz is psula. Chalitz is puzzle. On that, Amar Rava, Rava said, the hat, like the Brayse of Rabbi Yannai had interpreted the halacha, the hashtu de amit kri ma'akiv. Now that you see that recital is mi'akiv, because we're saying cheresh and chereshes are puzzle because they can't fulfill v'amra v'amra, so lefikach, and this is the reverse of what Rava said before, therefore ilim ilim eshechotsu, if a mute, that the yavmo, the yavama, are mute, again, not deaf mute, and they are b'nei das, still chalitza samsula, their chalitza must be possum. Again, because they cannot fulfill v'amra v'amra. Now, and that the question is, umasniten. Now, but then, how do you explain our Mishnah that said in the beginning of the Mishnah that if loy kara, if she didn't do the recital, the chalitza is kosher, but you just said that it is ma'akiv, you need v'amra v'amra, that's not a difficulty because our Mishnah is going kirib zeir. The Amr Zer, that like Reb Zer had said, and this topic is expounded upon Masechtas Menachot Afkof Gimel Mabeis, where the Mishnah there says that if someone says, I have to bring 61 esroinim, which is a certain measurement of flour for mincha, so the halacha is that he brings 60 in one vessel, and he brings one in another vessel. Now, the Gemara explains the reason for that is because the Rabbana knew that 60 esroinim of flour could mix well in one vessel, but 61 cannot. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, on that halacha, so that's why you have to have 61 and one in another one. You can't just put it all in one. So the Gemara asks over there, so even if it doesn't mix well, what's the big deal? But the Mishnah learns over there on Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph that if you didn't do balil, if you didn't mix it, it's going to be kosher. So who cares that it doesn't mix well? You don't need to mix it. And that Reb Zeira explains over there, which our Gemara quotes, and he says, Kol haro ulabila, whatever is fit to be mixed. So then even if you don't mix it, it's going to be kosher, and therefore ain't bila ma'akeves boy. Then the mixing is not going to withhold the validity. And the reason, because all we need is that it should be fit, it should be eligible for mixing, where you could fulfill the mitzvah of a mincha, which is to have belilas mincha, to mix the mincha. Now, however, v'chol she'ein ro lebila, however, whatever is not fit for to be mixed, then bila ma'keves boy, then the mixing will withhold the validity. Now, therefore, the same thing is over here also, that here, that you're right, you don't have to do the recital, but you need to have ro'o l'kri, you need it to be fit to have recital. But if you're not fit, that's going to be ma'akev, and therefore the two halachas of our Mishnah make sense, where if she didn't do the kriya, it's okay, but v'amma v'amra says you have to be fit to say, and therefore a cheresh and a chereshes, and therefore Rav expounds the same thing also. For ilim and ilemes, there will not be a valid chalitza because they're not ro'u for the amira, again, like Rav Zeir's halacha regarding halachas of mincha. Now the Gemara continues on these halachas of what's mentioned in our Mishnah, that shalchu le'ilavu d'shmul, they sent to the father of Shmuel the following halacha. Yevama shirakaka, a yevama that spit in front of Bezdin, tachlitz, she has to now go ahead and do chalitza. What that means is that she becomes puzzle from having yibim anymore with the yavams, once she spit. So that the Gemara asks, Mechlal, what the inference is the ifsulam acham, what's the halacha that they're sending the father Shmuel? That meaning she becomes puzzle from the brothers. What they're saying is that there's three components of the halacha. There's recital, there's spitting, and there's chalitza. And once you start doing chalitza, then you can't do Yibam anymore. You already started rejecting Shubla Yivna. So once she spit, you started the process. You can't do Yibam anymore. You're puzzled in the brothers. So now the Gemara says, Mani. Who would this halacha be going like? As the Gemara says, Ilema Rebbe Kiva, if it would be going like Rebbe Kiva of our Mishnah that holds that you don't need to have Rekika whatsoever. Well then, Hashta, let's look at this. Uma b'malka mitzvah, if let's say in the process of when you're doing the mitzvah of chalitza, at the time of chalitza, where then kika obviously is one of the components of, the three components of the mitzvah of chalitza. And the ikala maybe you could explain as follows, midid hava imurim, you can make the same logic that applies by imurim, that by every carbon, the sacrificial parts that get burnt on the mizbeach. Now, regarding imurim, the halacha is, chilasnu loy ma'akvi, if they're not around, let's say they got lost or they became tamei, then not ma'akiv, as long as you spray the blood of the animal on the mizbeach, the carbon will be valid and it will have fulfilled the chiv, even though you didn't throw the sacrificial parts on the mizbeach. Now, but v'chi isnehu ma'akvi, when the emurim are around, they're there, they're in the azara, then they withhold the ability of consuming the meat of the carbon, as the Gemara says in Sefer Pesachim Daf Nun Tes Mem Beis. But again, when they're not there, they're not ma'akiv, for example, when they get lost or when they become tummy. Now, therefore, you essentially could say the same thing over here, that although that a rikika is obviously not an integral chashiva component in the process of chalitza, as we said, because it's not in the ish itself. However, when you could do rikika, then you could say that it would be ma'akiv, similarly like by imurim. Although Rabbi Kiva says if she didn't do rikika, fine, it's valid. Just like imurim, if you didn't do it because you couldn't, it's already done, it's valid. But if you're there, then you could do it. Then, just like by Murim, then it's Ma'akiv. Here also by Rekika, we'd say, you could do it, of course you have to do it. And yet still, Om Rebbe Kiva La Ma'akiv, still Rebbe Kiva says, even when you could do it, it's not Ma'akiv. So Me'achen Ifsala? So are you going to say that such a non-Chashiv component of Chalitza, where even if you could do it, he says, she didn't do it, fine, it's a good Chalitza. And she could go out and she could spit, it's not like a Murim that lost or Tameh. And yet still he says, Nama'akiv, can you entertain to say that just by spitting that's going to be considered as if you started the process of Chalitza and become possible from the brothers? It's so non-integral because it's not even like what a Murim were, where when it's not around it's Nama'akiv, but at least when it's around it's Ma'akiv. Here, even when it's around it's Nama'akiv. So therefore it definitely cannot be like Rebbe Kiva, this halacha that they sent to Father Shmuel, that it's going to already invalidate her from Yibam. So there the Gemara says, so what are you going to say? El Rebbe Lazar. So rather, it'd be going like Rebbe Lazar, who says in our Mishnah that, no, Rekika is Miyakov. Like he said, Kochi Ya'asa, you have to do it. So what do you see? You see that it is an integral component. But the problem with that is that still, even if she does Rekika, should not passel her from the brothers from doing Yibam, because it's what's called Vashnei Devarim Hamatirim Nino. There are two components that permit her to marry other people through the mitzvah of Chalitza. They are the chalitza and the rekika. The third one, kriya, is now ma'akiv. But taking off the shoe and spitting is ma'akiv. Now, v'shnei dvarim hametirim. Now we know regarding two things that are permitters that you need to have both components to fulfill the requirement. Ein ma'alin ze b'loy ze. They don't work well without the other. So even if she spit, fine. Who cares? No chalitza was done. It was like almost nothing. And therefore, why can't she go ahead and do yibam with the brothers if you only did half and you didn't do the other? The Gemara says, Elikur Rebbe. Rather, must be like this halacha was going like Rebbe. Where the time, like within the Brayis as follows. Kivse ad seres. There are lambs, two lambs that are brought on Shavuos. Now, together with them are come a certain amount of breads. Now, that's what's called the Shtei Halechem. Avet the Brayis says, Ein Mekachin Halechem. These two lambs of Shavuos do not sanctify the two breads. In other words, they have monetary sanctity because they were already prepared to be brought on Shavuos. However, they don't acquire physical sanctity, these breads, which the halachic significance is of, let's say, they go out from the allowed area, or if they're left overnight, where only if they have physical sanctity do they become pasul. So he's saying that the shtei halachim do not get that physical sanctity through the lambs of that are brought with it, ele b'shchita, only when those two lambs are slaughtered. When they're slaughtered, then it becomes an official carbon that makes the breads with it already a kedushas haguf. Now that's in spite of the fact that before the slaughtering, the two animals had to be picked up together with the breads, which are called tenufa, when they're picked up. That tenufa does not sanctify them. It's only the slaughtering, and as Rashi brings, because we learned that out from the aisle, the ram by the Nazir, where it says in Mamid Bavav, it says, so we see that the pasuk is it's considering the salah matzahs, meaning the breads, the matzahs that are brought with it, only when you have a sa'il yasa zevach, when you slaughter it, which is the zvicha sa'il, the slaughtering of the carbon is what sanctifies the accompanying breads. Now, so therefore, that's what ultimately makes the kedushas aguf, permits the shtei halachem to be consumed. It gets that kedusha when you slaughter the kivsei atzeres. Now, that the braisa says, ketzah. What exactly is the halacha that the shechita is going to be matir the breads? So, shachtan lishman, if the slaughtering was done for the sake, which every carbon has to be slaughtered for the sake of that carbon. So if he slaughtered for the sake of the kivsei atzeres, and bezorg daman lishman, you have to spray the blood lishma, well then kiddush alechem, then the breads are sanctified, then you fulfill the requirements. Shachat shaloi lishman, but if he slaughtered it not for the sake of the kivsei atzeres, let's say when you're slaughtering those carbonas, you have in mind some other carbon. But vizarik lishman, you sprayed it for the sake of it, then like kiddush alechem, it has not been sanctified, as we said, because the primary permitter is that of the slaughtering, and the slaughtering was done shaloi lishman. Now, shachtan lishman, let's say it was slaughtered for its sake, but vizarik daman shaloi lishman, but the spraying of the blood, which is also the primary permitter of the carbon itself, because that's the throwing of the blood, that was done shaloi lishman, then kaddish, then the breads become sanctified, which means like a halfway, it's sanctified that it becomes possible if it will leave the perimeter where it's allowed to be. But v'ein a kaddish, but it's not totally sanctified, in other words, to be permitted to be consumed, because what happens is that you did some of it, but you didn't do all of it. You did what ultimately permits the bread, which is the slaughtering, was done lishman, but that's only when the carbon is going to be kosher. But the carbon itself is going to be possible because its own blood was sprayed shalei lishman, thus making the carbon possible, which makes the slaughtering really non-negotiable, it doesn't have any validity, so therefore the breads will not either have. So the breads are somewhere in the middle where it is kaddish because the slaughtering was done lishman. So therefore, to become possible, it's sanctified. If it leaves the perimeter, if it's left overnight, it has kedushas aguf, but it's in the kaddish to be able to be permitted to be consumed. Now, Divrei Rebbe, this is the opinion of Rebbe, where we see that although there's two permitters, Rebbe says if you did one of them, it's enough to make a psul, which is ultimate halacha we were having over here by chalitza. Although there's shni matirim, that of chalitza and of the rekika, although you did only one of them, which again will not permit her to others. It's not like we had assumed maybe in the beginning that this is already part of the process. You didn't do the whole thing. It's not going to permit it to anyone else, but it already makes a psul on the brothers. As we see, it's the kaddish v'ein the kaddish. It's enough to make her invalid from the brothers because you did some of the chalitza, although you didn't do beis matirim. He says, no, it doesn't have any sanctity. Until you slaughtered for its sake and you sprayed the blood for its sake, until you did that, he's, as we mentioned that opinion before, of Rebbe Elazar, where, no, shnei matirim, you did one, it's like halachically insignificant, and therefore it should be kosher to the brothers. Must be this halacha was going like Rebbe, who says, if you did even one out of the two, it's enough to make you puzzle, but not enough to fulfill the requirements.